Welcome to the Library Foundation Community Podcast. It is episode 134. The title today is Negotiation. Yes. And we have news this week.
Yeah, I guess it's okay. Yeah, sure.
Yep, so we have stuff to talk about. It's in the notes, which are loaded up on Lex's screen, and we're going to be talking to people.
Yes, indeed. That's the theory. I hope it's the practice.
But yeah, what are we going with first, Lex?
Well, I think we're going to go with, despite the fact that you couldn't get it up in a reasonable amount of time so I can have it in the notes, Creator of the Week!
So this week's Creator of the Week is Watt DeMass.
Watt DeMass. Oh, I need you to back up and tell me, how is that spelled?
So it's Anton Petrov, but his kind of name is Watt DeMass, which is Watt DeMass.
Okay.
So this is a creator which does science-related content, kind of weird-looking stuff, about different theories and stuff, and kind of trying to make videos about that stuff, which is kind of medium-length videos, I would say, like 15 minutes around.
That's good.
Most of
That's
them.
Good length. I can see that.
Yep. Some of the stuff looks a bit kind of crazy, but But yeah, I'm sure if you enjoy this kind of content, then I'm sure you'll enjoy this.
If this is the kind of content you like, this is exactly the sort of content you like. Okay, it's a little tautological, but I can go with it.
Yes, well, I don't really know how to explain this channel. I mean, the description says that he explains science, math, or other complicated topics using simulations, video games, and easy-to-understand words. So I'd say, like, simplified, complex topics.
He's a science communicator.
Yeah,
that's
a science communicator.
That's good. I like those.
Communicating complex topics in a simple manner. I think that's what the channel's trying to do.
I like that. What is the most recent video on that site?
Study suggests black holes may be directly linked to dark energy. What?
Okay.
But sure. This Quote of the Week was nominated by Pigus. So yeah, another of their nominations.
Pigus, you're to blame.
It's interesting the different types of creators that different people on the Creators Council nominate. I mean, it's nice to see somebody who isn't just a tech creator being nominated for Creator of the Week.
Oh, I agree, because, absolutely.
Yeah, most weeks it's just me nominating a tech creator and it winning. Like,
yeah, we gotta work on your tastes, man. You gotta broaden your horizons. At least get some sort of porn or fetish stuff in there.
What?
I don't know, something.
Whoa. Anyway, let's...
I mean, it could be.
Yeah, there's no Creator of the Month this month, so...
What?
And actually, not this week, I mean, this week, not
what,
yet.
What happened
obviously.
To the Creator of the Month?
It's not the end of the month yet, Lex. Like,
when is the end of the month?
Probably next podcast we'll have Creator of the Month.
I see. All right, fair enough. So noted.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get on to the other stuff, Lex.
Yeah, well, yes, I believe we absolutely should, because the first thing on the list is pretty heavy duty and hit us right before the show in ways that can't really explain. Actually, I can totally explain. It was Cool Guy who dropped me a line on a public channel and said, "Hey, I just got this from CoinEx. This might be news." And I have to say it is. The first thing I did was say, do we have validation? Do we have verification?
I'm sensing some news here.
You're just sensing some news?
Where were
yes. you? I'm smelling the new... Where was I when?
When we started the show and I had to do the intro, even though I kind of wanted to do it, so, you know, what? But yeah, where were you?
Not here.
It's the best place to be, not here. Anyway, CoinEx, probably the best place to trade LBC or other decentralized commodities, digital decentralized commodities, is... definitely locking you out if you happen to be a U.S. resident or a U.S. citizen who has connected via an IP address localized or in or associated with the U.S. Due to regulatory requirements, we are sad that CoinEx can no longer provide services to U.S. citizens or residents. If you are one, please complete asset withdrawal within 60 business days. That is before April 24th this year. Mm-hmm. And we will gradually ban the relevant accounts of U.S. users. CoinEx is kicking out U.S. users.
I think that's inevitable. If there's more regulation, then like CoinEx probably don't want that because they're not the most legit exchange ever.
They're a perfectly legit exchange. They were one of the better exchanges out there. Here's the problem. They're not even located in the U.S., if I remember correctly.
Where are they located?
Aren't they in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe they don't want to comply with those regulations which the U.S. are trying to introduce.
Well, they could just blow them off. It's not like, you know, the U.S. is going to lock down any more sanctions on China proper.
But yeah, it's probably better just to, I guess they think, to just lock out U.S. users. But if you were connected via VPN, this wouldn't affect you, would it?
That's a good question, because note that line, we will gradually ban the relevant accounts of U.S. users. So you would need a brand new account without any of the know your client stuff, any of the KYC, to move your stuff over into. Not good.
Pick a jurisdiction without know your customer law.
Yeah, except that, you know,
find a VPN server. And find a VPN server in that jurisdiction, and then do crypto to crypto exchanges.
This is why crypto is a dying system. Crypto commodities are being systematically murdered in the West. I hope you guys enjoy that knowledge. Here's your black pill. Swallow that hard. This sort of activity by organizations who really don't have any reason to give a fuck about U.S. regulations, getting on board and playing along.
CoinEx is literally like as far from the U.S. as it can be.
Exactly.
It's in a completely different country with a completely different system that just does not work with the U.S. at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what made it such a reliable choice in the first place. Like,
yeah, they're seriously not under U.S. jurisdiction, and they don't. Yeah, Hong Kong doesn't really comply with U.S. orders. So, like,
so we can begin to theorize about what went into making this happen.
I mean, apparently earlier in the week there was something that New York State did with CoinEx. But obviously they couldn't get to CoinEx. They couldn't get them to court because
New York State,
they're not in the US.
Yeah, no jurisdiction, guys. Come on.
Do they still allow UK users? I'm not.
Yeah, they're still allowing UK users. I haven't gotten an email, and I'm happy that I can be special and use CoinEx now.
Well, yeah.
Until the FCA then crack down on CoinEx, and then you won't be able to use it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's no way they can stop CoinEx. That's the thing.
I hope that they find some logic in their actions. Well, and they actually think, oh, wait, maybe this exchange from China might not comply with UK laws. And we just have to leave it.
I think they're more likely to comply with US stuff compared to UK, because like the UK doesn't really have any power over them because they're in Hong Kong.
I mean, the main reason I think this happened is because the US has all the like domain stuff. They have all of the big organizations that do domain names. And so, I mean, possibly if CoinEx remained in the US, they might just lose their domain overnight.
That's unlikely to happen, to be fair.
That's an entire kettle of fish that I'm not sure they want to open. It gets kind of crazy beyond that point. And I just don't understand why CoinEx is the one rolling over in this situation, given all the stuff that they've gone through and put up with before. Seriously, it's very confusing to me.
Because it's easier to roll over than deal with the consequences of what happens if you don't. Like, if they do it before, like, the U.S. Kind of try and go after them, then, like,
but what consequences? They're literally unable to be gone after. See, I remember back in the day, let's say, I don't know, 4 years, back when crypto commodity founders and creators had a certain je ne sais quoi about how they operated, and I believe that je ne sais quoi could be summed up by saying, national organizations, states, fuck you. Remember those days? Remember those good days when it was like, you know, we're trying to do something that's beyond the state, trying to go beyond the limitations and regulations, and we really don't give a fuck because there's nothing they can really do to us? Yeah, good old days.
The regulations have caught up horribly.
And... Well, I mean, it's just where at? That's the thing. Like, sure, you can't do it in the U.S. We know that. You can't establish in the U.K. That'd be probably a bad idea. But there's the rest of the planet, and it's all got network connectivity.
Yeah, if you establish in the U.K., you better hope it implement some KYC stuff. And potentially, I don't think the FCA really easily hand out things for crypto exchanges like... Only like Gemini, I think, FCA approved.
I mean, they're obviously doing whatever they can for exchanges that are actually functioning under a legal system that works with the UK's laws, mm-hmm. right? Like, any, like, well-known exchange, they will require KYC in the UK.
Yeah.
But I think they're just... not trying to overstep their boundaries. They might not. They might not be that.
The short version here is if you are a U.S. citizen or have done business with CoinEx from a U.S. IP in the last ever, looks like they're going to kick you off eventually.
Get your money out.
Get your money out now and definitely get it out before April 24th. And maybe they'll see enough backlash that they grow a pair and the scrote drops. But if they don't, well, I mean, here we are. This is what happens when you do not pursue decentralized exchanges as a primary mechanism for your industry. High five.
I mean, in this place... Right, if you can easily do KYC, I mean, that's the end goal. And honestly, it's not going to hurt you, but it's still nice to have options.
Yeah, don't do KYC. The less you know, the less you can report on. That's it.
Yep.
Embrace privacy. You can't talk about what you don't know.
That's the best thing about silver. I can just go pay cash.
That's the best part about slaves. And you can buy them anywhere in the world and nobody... Yeah, it's what? They're fungible. Just like silver.
Well, you know, you got a point.
Yeah, think about
isn't it? They're fungible. Mm-hmm. When do we get the slave NFTs?
Oh my God, that's brilliant. Tickets of ownership being distributed by NFT on the Bitcoin blockchain? See to it, fancy lads. You heard it right here.
Man, titles for slaves.
I like it.
On the blockchain.
But yeah, but probably the one of the last things we should say about this story. What places are left to actually exchange your LBC tokens now? That
not a whole lot. Who else does LBC that's not a complete pain?
I mean, I've heard some things about Hotbit. I don't know if they do KYC. I don't think they do.
Bittrex? Does Bittrex still trade it?
Bittrex US requires KYC.
Also, it's international only, no US trade.
Yeah, because somehow operating as a US company internationally without... I don't know how it works, but apparently you can just solve all your problems by still being in the US, but just not offering your services to the US.
Yeah, I don't even try to understand that.
Yeah, that does not make any sense at all. Why would you do that? Why don't you base yourself in a foreign jurisdiction if you...
The other thing is, like, I mean, people from the US can still use CoinEx if they just lie.
And... You see, the problem is you have to then provide some sort of supporting documentation. So lying is not enough. You must lie and fabricate.
There is no fabrication necessary. If you just use a VPN and...
No, but where are you going to... Like, where do they not require KYC?
Well, basically the rest of the world still. I mean, I'm from the UK. I don't need a VPN to access CoinEx still. So basically, any VPN, even free VPNs, will work for that.
Yeah, but...
This seems a lot of complexity to try and get involved with a system that prides itself on transparency and accessibility. Otherwise known as, if you accept this as the norm, then you've cut your own throat. In terms of being a market.
It is. But that's just how the law's been structured. I mean,
come on. Let's make it easy to break the law then. That's the obvious answer, is it not? If the law is wrong, if you acknowledge that it's wrong, you don't go out of your way to make it harder to break the law. You make it easier. That's hello. Welcome to any kind of disruptive revolution in any industry or marketplace. Congratulations. That's what's required. If that's not what you want to do, we know what you truly believe. It's pretty simple.
I was going to say that was black market 101, but
it literally is. And that's the reason black markets often flourish, because they are more accessible than open markets. Than the regulated markets, I should say. Definitely not open. So black markets flourish when black markets actually work. Let's focus on things that actually work and throw away the things that don't actually work and stop apparently, pretending otherwise.
BISC does support LBC. I've not personally seen it. In fact, I don't even think it works on macOS. Because every time I try to open their thing, it just says, "Oh, hey, this file's been damaged. Do you want to move everything to the bin?" But
it does work. I've used it on macOS before.
The issue with that is that you need like security deposits and stuff, so you're gonna spend like a good portion of whatever you're transferring from. Just on like random pointless signatures.
It's
stuff.
Too expensive also, to make it plausible.
Don't you need Bitcoin to sign stuff?
You might need Bitcoin. I don't think you do. I think
I think you need to put down Bitcoin. I'm pretty sure that's how BISC works.
The primary focus is Bitcoin. So that might be the case too, which makes it even more difficult to access then. Yeah, it was made with this idea of being like really against KYC exchanges, but at the same time, I mean, at that point, it's easier to just hand your ID over than to go through all that. Like,
also, what happened to BlockDX? I swear it was a thing just like a couple months ago. It was a decentralized exchange thing, but now the domain is up for sale. For $30,000.
They might not have renewed their domain. That happens. And then bots take it over and sell it.
Well, so here is some homework for you two before the next show. Find out what other decentralized or centralized systems exist out there, exchanges, which will accept LBC at reasonable prices and... come back to the table and don't tell me now. Next week, bring the list back. Be prepared to talk about it. And we will get people on board and say, okay, here are the last remaining options for LBC. Check it out. Be attentive. Here are the limitations. That's your homework.
Okay. So we're going on to the next story now, then.
Oh, hell yes, we are.
Yeah, well, it's important.
It's kind of a big deal. All right, everybody who is a member of the Library Foundation board, raise your hand.
Hi.
All right, everybody look at Shroom. Stare with your big glowing eyes, because there is a announcement. I'm not sure if they've made the public announcement from the board yet. This might actually be the news.
This is the news.
Oh my god.
This was the plan all along. We were meant to announce this at the podcast. We have news.
I feel like I'm a proper journalist now that people have leaked to me before a show. It's great. Library Incorporated, the company, is negotiating with the Library Foundation, the organization, to sell assets. And those particular assets for sale include the library.com website, the GitHub community library.io, and all the branding and all the branding rights for library. And if you would like to help out with this, because it will not be free, well, something very important to keep in mind, money lubricates all holes. The Library Foundation has launching a USD-based, fiat currency-based fundraiser, on Ko-fi. It's coffee.
Yeah.
To support the library ecosystem. Basically, if you would like to help support the Library Foundation buying up the digital assets of Library Incorporated before they effectively get dismembered and their flesh eaten by the SEC, you can be a part of that. You can put in some money and you can be on board with helping them get all of those assets free of the corporation and back in the hands of the people. If you want to do that, donations can be given via Ko-fi at the URL that Sandro has dropped in the chat and the one which you see on the screen if you are watching this live or later. It is ko-fi.com/LBRY Foundation, all lowercase, all one word. I believe that you will, if you're interested and would like to see the library project continue on with some sort of support, this would be the way for you to be personally, directly, intentionally involved. True. So, would you like to get exciting?
Awesome.
Yeah.
So basically you're begging.
No. It's not begging when you do it as an organization. It's called fundraising.
Yeah.
So are you going to do the whole thing with the big eyes and the pretending to have a broken leg too?
I think Shroom's going to have to be the one that does that.
For less than a cup of coffee a day.
Yeah.
Why don't the foundation accept, like, any sort of crypto payment?
Because they'd like to actually be able to buy something?
True, that's actually a good point.
And it also makes our taxes easier afterwards.
So, Shroom, tell us about the board's attitude about this. Tell us about the foundation side of things. What is going on?
Right, so February the 7th, Jeremy's like, hey, we want to sell all our stuff to you, right? So we have a discussion. We have a discussion with Jack, actually, from...
Robinson?
Yeah, Robinson. We have a discussion with him. And we want all the library stuff. Slight issue, we're still in the US. And using our LBC would just not be a wise decision here. Like, we have enough LBC. It's just not a good idea, given how the SEC is kind of stomped down on Library Inc.
And what are you going to trade it for, even if you were to give it back? It's not a thing with value in this context of this trade.
Basically, we're just leaving it. We're not using our LBC at all. We're not trading it for anything. I mean, we might use it for some, but we're still going to use it for its utility purpose. Right,
perfectly sensible.
But we're not going to be handing it out anymore. It's just not a good decision, at least for now, given that we're still a US-based entity and US has SEC.
Yeah,
basically, you're covering your arse so that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. So, as for why you should donate, library.com and github.com/library.io, that's the main two things that we're after here. They, first off, library.com has been a great entry point to the library ecosystem. I mean, it's not very descriptive, but it gets the point across. And if Library Inc. loses that, by dying out, we don't want to lose that too. But also the GitHub page, having it managed by an organization that's still very close to the library ecosystem, and that can, our point has basically always been managing the community side of things. We're going to need a lot more involvement from the community developers with this project. And that's the other half.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically the foundation need money.
Yeah, basically you want cash in order to make a reasonable trade for the assets of Library Incorporated and in order to be able to support development going forward. Because as I understand, development is going to, have to shift away from the corporation because it won't exist anymore.
Yeah. I mean, as far as some of the developers that have been working for Library Inc. might still want to continue working in a decreased capacity, right? And I'm pretty sure everybody would be very appreciative.
Absolutely.
But we're going to have to rely more on the community now, right? And that's what the foundation is for.
Yeah, so basically, if the foundation don't get any money from this, then you're probably not going to get the domain, are you?
Well, no, we're not.
Yeah, so, therefore, clearly we've got to have some generous people. How much are you aiming to raise, at least?
$5,000 right now is the goal. Because, and that might sound like quite a lot, but it really covers basically everything that Library Inc. has right now.
$5,000, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not bad considering you're getting all the digital assets, you know, you're going to have all the branding and everything after that. So I figured it'd be more than that myself. So.
Yeah, 5,000 is not a lot for like.
I believe the term of art for this is fire sale.
Yep.
All right. Well, there's your marching orders, folks. If you would like to support the library ecosystem and the library system in general, go grab some cash and throw it at the coffee interface. Is that linked to a way that payments can be received yet, Shroom?
It isn't. We're planning to do that very soon, but Ralph has been having some issues with PayPal. And
well, yeah.
Well, let's hope that nobody is very impatient.
I think that you can go over and follow it in order to get notifications when that goes fully live. So if you would like to do that, yeah, probably
we'll
a good idea.
Yeah, we'll make a post once that has happened. And then you can get notified when you can actually give us money. I know, how exciting.
Yep.
So you can
get a notification that says you are going to give us money.
You are going to give us, not we would like you to give us money or you can give us money. You are going to.
Well, given that you signed up for notification, then I suspect you probably are. Potentially. That's what it should say. Potentially, you are going to give us money.
Paris does say that 5K is cheap, and 5K is kind of cheap. It's fire sale cheap. For good reasons, though.
Yeah, well, it's not like Library Inc. have like a million years to sell this.
No. And it's funny, though it's funny you should mention that, because we're not even exactly sure how long they have, given the SEC filing for an extension on their side of things. The hell.
Yeah, so basically, please do it as fast as you can once we actually have a payment method set up. I mean, really, it all depends on the community, right? If we can't raise this, guess library's going extinct, like the dojo.
Well, maybe the library project is going extinct.
I mean, the protocol will always exist. There'll be copies of the blockchain until the last node hoster dies a horrible death. But as a working, viable project, again, here, let me give out the black pills. If this doesn't go off well, if it doesn't have community support, it's done. So either have a backup plan or get on board. Take your pick.
So does anyone have a spare $5,000?
Oh, God, no. I have a girlfriend to keep up.
I don't. And I don't assume anybody here does.
No.
Paris does.
Oh, well, probably spending it.
It has to be in real money. It has to be in real money. Can't be crypto commodity.
And also, I feel like giving away your life savings might not be a good idea.
It might not be the wisest investment. I'm going to give you not investment advice and say, you know, that's $5,000 you could spend on hookers and blow and probably get more out of it.
You know, as not investment advice, right?
Right.
I would say you should, because this is setting library up for the next however many years, right? Why make it your life fund when you can make it library's life fund?
Because library might not have a long life.
Oh, damn, Sandro, out of left field with the blade.
I mean, he isn't wrong.
No, he's absolutely not wrong. I mean, that's one of the things I always wanted to do with this podcast, to make sure that we provide a voice that keeps a certain level of sanity and common sense in play, which you generally, even when we are being mad, you can always ask a real question and get a real answer. And if the real question is this a good, sound future investment? Maybe not. That's $5,000 you could put toward rent or, you know, eating or whatever
or your retirement,
anything in an increasingly unstable economic global situation. However, if you got $5,000 and it's burning a hole in your pocket and you don't want to buy hookers and blow and you want to contribute toward something that very well could be an important part of the future information ecosystem, maybe it's a good investment for you. Maybe it's something that will make you feel good about yourself, and that gratification is worth the $5,000 value. If so, or $5, or $20, or $100, whatever you feel like you can afford to gamble with, because all of these sort of things are gambles, and the Library Foundation is no different. If you feel you got it to gamble with, maybe put it on the table.
Yeah, so, just let's be clear. We're not asking for somebody with $5,000 lying around to all pay it in at once. We'd appreciate it. I mean, if do that, it's great. But we're not expecting anybody to. That's why we're crowdfunding instead.
What happens
go ahead, Chris.
You go ahead, Sam.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
Karev is going first, then Sandra.
Okay.
Okay, then. Give me a minute. I'm accidentally writing this.
Okay. Well, right, what happens done. If...
So,
all right, Karev, you got it together. Go.
What again?
Sandra, stop. Brakes. Karev, go. Green light.
Yeah, let's go. So basically, are the people who are pledging money that's going to get anything, even just a little flair on the library Discord app or something to show that they are backers who basically made it possible, or is it just going to be a moral gratification?
Well, it hasn't been set up yet. It can easily be set up. Coffee does have an integration with Discord.
That'd be cool.
We haven't gotten there yet.
My question is, what happens if the foundation end up raising however much money, but it just isn't enough? What are you going to do?
In that case, we won't buy the stuff, won't we?
No, one thing is, what are you going to do with the money? How does coffee work? As in, like, if you don't reach your goal, what happens to that money?
I mean, goals are basically in place just until you remove them, until you reach them. Coffee doesn't have, like, a defined time limit thing or anything.
Right. Basically, coffee is not an escrow system. So
coffee is basically Patreon. Yeah. It's basically akin to Patreon, only different fee structure, a little more creator oriented.
In fact, you just pay it directly to us. You don't even go through coffee.
Okay, so basically,
if you get $4,999, yep, you get to keep all that money. You won't be buying it. Are you going to be refunding that money, or are you just going to be running off with it?
Finally, we're raising money for the foundation's operations. The biggest one right now is, to try and purchase the assets from Library Inc. We still have costs, period. And one of the biggest things that we've been trying to do is kind of organize a way to fundraise. Part of that was, are we going to be reincorporating overseas? There's costs involved with maintaining any sort of official corporation. So they would likely go towards operational expenses. This fundraising campaign shouldn't just be looked at as we're trying to purchase Library Inc.'s assets. It should be looked at as supporting the foundation. The biggest goal right now is purchasing those assets.
In the absence of that purchase going through, is there a library foundation?
Yeah, everything is still open source. We're going to continue to do what we can.
No, but if you don't raise any money, will the library foundation continue to exist as an organization?
Well, if exchanges keep blacklisting the United States, then yeah, we're going to have a lot of LBC that we can't do anything with. That's the only form of assets we have right now.
So basically, the situation for the foundation doesn't look too bright if they can't fundraise anything.
Basically, yeah. And this is something that has been looming, and towards the end of last year was something we were even talking about with Jeremy before the darker turns towards the court case, which was basically talking about getting ready to do fundraising activities. This is basically a big kick in the ass to get it started, more than anything.
Let's be clear, if we can't raise all this, right, we can't just run off with it. Yeah. We're not just like a random group of people. We are actually a proper corporation. We can't just run off, do whatever.
Yeah. Well, it would be good to hear like what you're actually planning to do with it if in the case that you don't raise enough to actually buy the domain, like what other purposes you put. And maybe a nice, if you don't achieve that goal, maybe an outline of where you did spend it.
I can agree with that. Well, we do have a budget, mind you. The budget was based on the LBC that was initially donated from Library Inc. At this point, it needs to be updated, especially with the drop in price, but it did have an outline for what we were spending it on, a lot of it being community initiative.
So where could you find this budget?
On a spreadsheet somewhere buried in Google Drive.
Yeah, if you could make that more kind of publicly available when it's updated.
Some financial transparency would go a long way.
Yeah, because I feel like people are more willing to give to things which are more financially transparent.
Well, yeah, they give their $10 and then the org says, oh yeah, we spent $50 on giving stuff out to, you know, creator of the week or whatever. And then they're like, oh, I see it's actually doing something, as opposed to not seeing anything happening for long periods of time. And then it's like, oh yeah, now we need $5,000 to get these assets. It's a hard sell. Like I'm doing my best right now to try and sound to try and sell a little bit, but the truth is there are a lot of questions, and in the absence of those assets being acquired by Library Foundation, there are a whole lot more questions. It's even more uphill. So it's I want to be clear, I'm not being critical of the underlying idea, but I am trying to look out for the people who are in the audience who are like, is this a good idea? Is it not a good idea? Should I not? This is my $5, this is my $20, this is my $100, you know. You gotta think about those guys and what they can get out of it, not in terms of what they bought or something, but in terms of emotional gratification or whatever. So it's something we need to have on the table and something we need to have in mind whenever we talk about it.
I mean, I personally understand, like, we have been staying pretty silent over the past year, and I recognize that it's a lot more difficult now just coming out and saying, oh, hey, we're actually going to start telling you stuff again. And by the way, we want $5,000 for
it. Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard sell too. I mean, think about that. If you're the one being come to, and they're like, oh, we need some money. And we come back and say, well, yeah, but what have you done for the last year? You don't have much to show for it. It's kind of tough.
A large piece of that was, you know, it was a decision was made to basically have the foundation go into a holding pattern so that we wouldn't run out of LBC while we were waiting for this court case to have some sort of resolution. Right. It has now hit a point to where there's no doubt that, you know, Library Inc. is going under, and the future of Library itself is a bit uncertain. I'm not going to say it is uncertain, but it's a bit uncertain, right? So, yeah, we haven't done a lot, but we did have a lot planned that basically got stopped. A lot of that is basically in our budget.
Yeah. So really, if it were me, speaking as the voice of the community, which I should never do, it would certainly make me happier if we started with, here is some documentation about what we have done over the last year. Here is some of the spreadsheets. Here's some information that we've prepared for you, because we are looking to take out a loan with the community. And just like we would want to do with a bank, we have to provide documentation about what we have done and what we're going to do in order to justify you taking the risk on giving us some of your money. If the board were to approach the community like that, I think it would be an easier time of it.
Well, but let's put a little bit of perspective into what the foundation has done and prior to the holding pattern. We were holding regular quadratic funding initiative, funding projects based on what the community thought would be successful. And we were matching a lot of that. Looking here, I did find the budget.
And those were pretty cool. By the way,
and that was the largest percent, actually, which is 400,000 LBC that we pushed towards that. The Creators Council was much more active at that time, doing more than just the Creator of the Week. And at that time, we were pushing about 100,000 LBC to them. Curators Council was just being started, and it is active-ish now that we've gotten the Curate bot back up, and that is recent. Curate is back up, so curations have been restarted. We just need to start poking the council, getting our actual curators group woken back up, looking for new active community members that want to take that initiative and start pushing those funds into the library ecosystem to support creators that they want to support. Marketing Council, again, that's been one of those with the holding powder. We haven't had a chance to do anything. And that's a bulk of it. That over 50% of what our budget was.
Yeah, finally, the Creators Council can now put some support on Creator of the Week posts now that the Curator bot is back up.
At least it's just support. that's at least, then we're just going to stack it over here and then take it back. That doesn't really cost much other than the transaction fee.
No, I'm just saying it wasn't up for a while, so we couldn't do that. But now it's back up, so that's
right. Nice. So, you know, again, from the community perspective, what we really need is this stuff public. It needs to be clear. It needs to be easily found. You guys need to push it into the public mindset, into the community mindset. And then we can say, all right, now we have the opportunity to get the library incorporated at digital assets, the website, the GitHub community, branding, all that stuff. We just need your support to help us actually have the bucks to get them, to buy them off of library for a reasonable price. I think that's a winning strategy. It's certainly something that's possible. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win. God knows, nothing's a guaranteed win anymore. But I think it's something that could be done.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree. You know, getting our budget organized in general is something that we should be on top of. It's just since the beginning of the year, specifically, we didn't really have any direction for the moment. And this message from Jeremy kind of helped give us a bit of a direction that we can take. Hey, all hope is not lost.
All right. Yep. So let's assume that you do get the asset. Let's just make that call right now. Let's assume that you do get the website, you get Library.io, you get the branding stuff. What's the next step after that? Now that you have those in hand, assuming you have those in hand, what's the next step?
Ideally, looking at ways to get more community developers involved. For the moment, everything is going to basically be volunteer-based.
Right.
Jack Robinson has already, who is one of the founders of the library. I don't know if he was in here at the beginning of the show. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it.
He was not. I was kind of expecting him to drop in as we go.
Let me ping him. He probably forgot. But he has already kind of volunteered to step up and continue to help maintain the repos.
Okay.
And the development progress. Like library is basically his baby. You know, he's one of the core developers of the protocol, of the app, of everything. So he wants to be involved still, whether he's getting paid or not. And so we have a key asset there that's willing to step into the community light and just be there to continue to make this, you know, the protocol and the platform be a thing still.
Right.
We talked about in our last board meeting a couple different ways that we could try and get you know, community developers involved. One of the things that he was talking about was trying to, you know, organize some, you know, some AMAs, some like kind of talking events to pique interest, show that running the library ecosystem isn't as daunting as it might seem, stuff like that. So we're, you know, the goal here would be trying to be able to support people trying to run the system, similar to what Library Inc. did in the beginning. I don't know if we'd have the resources to outright say, here's some hosting, because it'd all be in the same place, defeating the purpose of, you know, decentralization. But we'd at least be able to say, here, this is how you're going to do it, and start focusing on getting some more documentation published, getting more awareness, you know, bringing it back to square one to a degree.
The cynic in me demands that I say, oh, the stuff we should have been doing 4 years ago.
Absolutely.
I can't help it. I got to be that guy. And it is true, though. Getting the documentation in line, getting the community educated, explaining why this is a good thing. All these things have kind of fallen by the wayside. If we can pick them up now and run with them, there we can go someplace. But they are going to be required.
Yeah, no, and that stuff that basically, you know, he's already kind of stepped up to say, yes, I will definitely take this. Like, he wants to be involved even to the point of being part of the board and helping me make sure we continue to move forward in a direction that's conducive to library. So we have a good contender coming up here for this year.
Good, good, excellent. I'm glad to hear that, actually. That's, if nothing else, Jack should have a sense of direction and a dream for where it should end up going. And would definitely be able to establish an idea of where he wanted to end up with the project. And it's needed that pre-hard.
We might even have an election this year. Like,
what?
Wow. You can have two people, more than one person stepping up to the plate?
That's theoretical.
Technically, we had two people step up last year.
Well, yeah, but, two, but like that. There were two places up for grabs, so like it ended up not elected.
We are tossing around the idea of increasing the board member seats again.
Not a bad idea.
We haven't solidified any decision there. If we would, it would require an amendment again so that we don't have like four people stepping out at one time, causing a massive shift in the continuity of the board. We're, you know, the goal here when we do this is trying to continue to keep things as staggered as possible. So a couple people leave, a couple people come in, you know, there's a nice transitional period between people that have been there and people that are new. You know, that's the nice part about, you know, me, Vlad, and Shroom being here as Pegas and Arian stepped in, was that, you know, there were enough of us here to be like, hey, this is how things have been going, you know, and they have been a nice infusion of ideas as well in the few board meetings we've had so far.
Good. That's what we'd like to hear. Actually, we'd like to hear more about board meetings in general. Yeah. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, documentation.
They've been pretty sparse, so there's not much to say. Since the election, or since before the election even, since we went into this holding pattern, board meetings have been pretty sparse. There hasn't been much to talk about, similar to the way that you haven't been on every podcast.
I know.
There hasn't been any decisions. We're still in the holding pattern. Only recently are we kind of getting out of that and saying, all right, now we need to start moving forward. And, you know, we've had some hit lists, people to talk to, you know, things to research. Again, we're looking at reincorporating outside of the U.S., and trying to figure out what the best place to do that is.
What other places kind of in the running for that?
Shroom, you were doing some research on that one.
Right now, it's either Switzerland or Malta.
All right, so thinking about which place I'd rather visit just to see you guys.
They're not actually moving there.
Come on, we need a headquarters. It needs to be like at least a P.O. box.
No, it's going to be Nico's house. We're going to go and incorporate it in Switzerland at his house.
Oh, hell yeah. Sold. Let's go. I'm in. And we'll just visit Nico from, you know, once a year and call it like Library Con. It'll be great.
Yeah, Library Con, little house party. It's not really about library, but nothing's actually happening. But
yeah, you could reincorporate in Portugal and get taxed to that. That'd be fun.
No, I think we'll pass on that.
Use an Eastern European country. They don't enforce laws.
Yeah, they're not known
We're not
for being
planning to break.
They're not known for having non-authoritarian governments sweep in from time to time. I don't know. I'm a little uncomfortable with the Baltics. I love them, but
yeah, I think Switzerland probably sounds like the best.
Also, lovely food.
We're not deciding this.
I'm just advising in the sense of, hey, where do I want to go?
Yeah, we're not going to choose Malta just because it's... Wait, is Malta small?
Malta is a pretty small island. On the other hand, it would be a great place to have Library Con, good swimming, some decent food, lovely skies. Vixen would love it.
Best gun runs in the EU, too.
Ooh, good point.
You can get people from Africa.
That could be fun, too.
Because of the proximity to Africa, you could get people from like Tunisia to come to your thing.
This all sounds good. You know what? Switzerland or Malta, I think I've got good cases for both. You know, I can hang out in the mountains and eat chocolate, or I can lay on the beach and enjoy the scenery. This is all good. Whatever you guys decide, I'm in.
Lay on the beach because you came to Switzerland for a house party.
I mean, Malta. You know, Malta is the beach. Malta. Switzerland's the mountains.
Yeah. Fair enough.
When you're skiing.
I love Swiss landlocked beaches next to
there's probably a lovely mountain lake with an artificial beach. I'm in.
Yeah.
You could also base it in India and make the greatest call center ever thought of.
Oh yeah. Ralph's done now. Ralph's done. He doesn't want to hear about all the
We're not going to India. I'm just saying that. That's never going to happen. No.
None of us want super diarrhea.
Oh, the problem is I love the food. I'm not afraid of the diarrhea, but I'm just like, I don't want to have a house party in India. I just don't. I know somehow at the end of that house party, I end up in the Ganges and I don't want it.
Come on. You know, the services are cheap, right?
They are. Yeah. Well,
what else do we have to cover, Lex? Well, no AMA because...
Yeah, we don't have a jack, sadly.
So probably next week then.
I'm down for that.
Let's have Lex do the AMA.
Ask Lex anything. I'm not sure anybody wants the answers to those questions.
But also, isn't that already the podcast?
That kind of feels like the podcast. Also, we're running out of time. We're at 2:58.
That wow, means that's been the last 2 minutes.
We've got two minutes, yeah. And we've
2 minutes, no news left.
2 minutes, no news? Holy crap. All right, maybe it is a two-minute ask the crew anything. Come up with one question that you would like Sandro, Shroom, and I to answer, and we will do that as our last thing on this show.
And it could be any question about something relevant.
No, anything. Anything at all.
Anything at all. Well, let's find out what people want.
What do you guys want to know? Put it in the chat. Ask it out loud. You got 30 seconds to get your question in.
Or if you don't get your question... Oh, yeah, okay. If you don't get your question in during this, then try and get it in during the app. Just get your question out there. It appears people are sleeping.
I will not be at the after party for long.
Okay.
Well, clearly... Eight? Why? What animal do I hate the most? For me, the answer is very simple. Humans.
Okay, my answer is, I think my least favorite animal, I like most animals, but I think my least favorite is probably, you see, there's some really annoying animals, like, I think maybe deer. Deer, there we are. That's my least favorite animal. Just because they're just they're like, there's no reason, actually skunk, but there we are. Skunks are my...
Yeah, they are great targets for shooting, Fred.
And they're tasty. How about you, Shroom? What is your least favorite animal?
Red squirrel. Doesn't feel like a squirrel if it's not gray.
Tell you what my least favorite is. I've got a new least favorite. Bats.
Wait.
They carry rabies.
Bats are beautiful and lovely creatures. The fact that they carry rabies is just a plus.
Well, you know that there was one person in Scotland who... tried to touch hold a bat, and it just bit them and gave them rabies, and they died.
The last time I tried to hold a bat, it peed on me, but I still don't hold that against or it. So yeah, good. Least favorite animal round is complete. And
I see Farmer Josh's question, and I think that is actually directed to...
What style thong with the sexy French maid costume? Don't be ridiculous. I don't make Vixen wear thongs with her French maid costume. That's insane.
No. What would you wear with it, you know?
I go commando. I go freeballing under that skirt. What are you talking about? Now, you had an answer that you never wanted. That's the best way to end a show. Woo! High five. All right, next week, 2 p.m. on Friday. You guys know the drill. There'll be an event set up in the Discord. You come back here, you hang out with us, or you catch us live on Odyssey streaming so you can look over my shoulder. You read the show, you watch the show, you check out everything. You know the drill. Same as always, every week. Yep. Sandro, last thought, make it short.
Could the Library Foundation start a cult? That is
a cult. What are you talking about? It is a cult.
Well...
See, you don't know. That means it's doing the right thing.
I mean, he makes a fine point. I personally am the only person I know around here qualified to run a cult, so it's what it is, I guess.
Because we never get insight into what the board meetings are like. They could be like cult meetings. You could be doing cult rituals, and we wouldn't.
That's awesome. Yes, Sandro, you have your homework for next week. Shroom, cool guy. I'm glad that we had this time together and could get some insight about the Foundation board. Jans, Igor Baldwin, Farmer Josh, Kravchenko, Paris, Pigas, Vixen. You guys are better than the run of standard humanity for putting up with us writing this out. Next week, come back and we will hopefully have Jack Robinson to talk about the technical insides of setting up hosting capabilities in the library ecosystem and to do a bit of an AMA. And maybe there'll be even more crazy news, but let's hope not. Until then, I'd just like to say bye, everybody. Bye.
Goodbye.
Later, tight.